color voice of the Calgary Flames on Sportsnet 960. It is Peter Loubardius. Hello, Pete.
Hello, gentlemen.
How?
Sir!
How are we doing, sir?
we're doing pretty good.
You're doing pretty good?
Yeah, we're doing just fine.
So where are you?
I'm in Regina.
I figured you would. Yeah, I figured you would.
Yes!
No need to be here. Nothing going on here.
You don't need to be in Mississauga. It's Regina.
May as well be Regina. Do you know anybody there? Or is just
I know a few people here.
Yeah. First time, Lou? Or
At the Memorial Cup, first time.
In Regina.
Not my first time in Regina, that's for sure. And not my first time at the Memorial Cup. It's 1+19.
Right.
Yeah.
Holy.
You know what they have there? They have these grunts, these young guys, just like hardworking kids. They're just constantly walking around with red carpet and rolling it constantly in front of Lou as he's walking around the rink. There's like velvet rope and just, he's moving. Get the red carpet. You're a legend.
I've never seen a red carpet. I do know a few people, though. That's, I spent the better part of 6 years working here and, have spent lots and lots and lots of time here.
What's the buzz been like, Lou? Because I know the Jets, that incredible run this year came to an end right around the time that this tournament was just getting going in round robin play. Is this the talk of the town? Is it busy? What's the vibe?
Oh, I mean, for sure, it's the talk of the town, and they've done a really, really good job. The one thing that has come up, and I can't ignore it, is ticket prices have been a bit of an issue at this particular event. And I think to a certain degree, it's kept some people away. I also think the timing of this event on a long weekend in May where the weather was beautiful and people have other plans, and that always affects this group. The other hockey obviously can make a difference as well, but the organizers, it's funny, I had a line the other day with the main organizer, one of the Pat's main owners, Sean Semple, and we brought him on. I'm doing a little television work here locally for Access Community Television. And I said, you know what, Sean? I said, I've been at a lot of these events. Most Memorial Cup organizers, they bring in the Eagles cover band. You brought in the Eagles.
Yeah.
So it's been a major undertaking. It's the 100th anniversary of the event. And from a hockey standpoint, it's been fascinating. Every night, the games have been close. They've taken on all kinds of different twists, including, Stuart Skinner made 54 saves two nights ago in a game where Swift Current was thoroughly dominated. Outside, they've all been one-goal games. So, really good.
Yeah, I know they've shown the crowd shots and people have talked about it. I don't begrudge anyone for not paying crazy money for tickets.
Neither do I.
Because the first thing is like, wow, in Regina, I thought they had better fans. It's like, no. First thing you need to ask is how much are tickets? Because there's a breaking point, and everyone has it. And in this economy, more than others. So I don't know where the blame goes there. Is it on the organizing committee? And I get why they have to do that, because when they go to decide who's getting a Memorial Cup, well, who's
pay a ton of money?
Who's offering the most payback to the league, to the CHL? Who's promising the most dough? To get that dough, you got to charge big ticket prices. And it's not the first time we've seen sparse crowds, but less than full crowds at these events.
And when you consider in this city the last 2 years, remember Regina went all the way to game 6 of the league final last year, there have been 80% of their games the last two seasons that have been sold out.
Yeah.
So when that is the case, I think there's no other way but to take a look at, when you're charging $65 to $80 a game for a ticket, it's still junior hockey. But at the end of the day, that's exactly what you said, Boom. It's about, they paid, I believe, more than $3 million. you know, to make sure that they ended up hosting the event. You have to recoup it. Then, you know, that's where our world is at. I don't know if I necessarily blame anybody. I think it's a little bit unfortunate because now more than ever, and maybe not more than ever, you know, money wins. So even if the building isn't completely full and doesn't look the way it is, but you still sell, you know, that many tickets at that price, you know, I'm no mathematician, although in this tournament you need to be with all these tiebreaker scenarios, you know, the dollars still probably play out the right way.
Mm-hmm. Tonight it is Saskatchewan versus Saskatchewan. How special is that for a guy like you?
It's really neat, and it, you know, to watch Swift Current win the league, first time a team from Saskatchewan has won the Western Hockey League title since 1993. You know, the smallest market, or you know, either there or Cranbrook between the two, one of the smallest markets in the Canadian Hockey League. It was really, really special to watch a lot of Swift Current in the playoffs. I was able to be in the building and call game six when they knocked off Everett to wrap up the title. And that building, guys, was absolutely bonkers, bananas, out of its skull. It's a lot of fun. And to watch the Bronco fans travel, they still have the highest attended game in this event on Saturday afternoon. And it's because immediately after they won the title, they helped the organizing committee sell about 2,000 tickets. So tonight will be neat because in the last 2 years, the Broncos and the Pats have played one another 28 times, including two seven-game series.
So when is the last time you've seen a Sasky versus Sasky game at the Memorial Cup?
1989.
Yeah.
1989 in Saskatoon when it was the Blades and Swift Current. And they had two epic battles, including Swift Current beating the Blades 4-3 in overtime to win the title.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's a long time ago, Lou.
Yes.
So
yes,
it's special.
I was a lot younger.
Yeah. But
and
no,
way
but,
smarter.
Yeah, but no better way looking. Smarter. No better looking, and you're still smelling terrific.
No. I'm no oil painting, that's for sure.
Lubo, you noted that the tiebreak scenarios are a little crazy. What do we know right now about tonight's games that isn't going to require an abacus or someone taking notes a half page long?
Yeah, I'm not going to get into the math because I don't want to blow people's heads. You know, it's too early and the coffee's tasting good. I don't want to throw something in it that nobody needs. What we know about tonight is pretty simple, and that is Swift Current has to win a hockey game to keep their hopes alive. And if Swift Current does win, then we're going to end up watching the Saskatchewan teams play again tomorrow in a tiebreaker. And it would set up a situation where Hamilton would go to the final and Bathurst would end up in a semifinal against the winner of that. If Regina wins, then because of a three-way tie at 2-1 and their goals for and against differential and quotient, it would be Regina and Hamilton in the semifinal Friday with Bathurst advancing directly to Sunday's championship game.
Peter Labardius in Regina, our guest here, our friend on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. My guess is that business is going to pick up around the Flames offices with Bill Peters back from the Worlds, Brad Treliving. I'm sure they'll be sitting down. Things pretty quiet to this point, as you might expect. They've been doing other things, but there's a coaching staff to fill out, and there's a draft to get ready for, even though we have well established the fact that they don't have many picks as of right now. July 1 is coming. I mean, we're almost at the end of May here. Business is going to pick up. I guess, do you have any kind of a thought? Have you heard anything in terms of coaching staff? I know stuff's being written about Ryan Huska. Huska. Yeah, just thoughts on any of that.
The one thing I would say is I'm somewhat surprised, even before I left shortly after the season, I was somewhat expecting, you know, Ryan Huska's name to be signed, sealed, and delivered earlier. I still expect him to be part of the coaching staff. You look at Bill Peters and, you know, Bill in his time needless to say, in the Western Hockey League. I know that he's always talked glowingly when asked about Ryan Huska, and Ryan was in Kelowna as a coach when he was in Spokane, and I know he has great respect for him, so I would expect that to happen. But I guess the delay, and it's not surprising, is when you round out a coaching staff, you're likely not necessarily going to do it one by one. You're probably going to nail down, you know, the whole staff and then announce it, which is what I would expect. And I'd also expect it to happen probably in the next couple of weeks. I'd be really surprised if they didn't go down that road. And I do expect Ryan Huska to be one of the gentlemen named.
What about the head coach of the Swift Current Broncos, Manny Viveros? He's drawing a lot of interest, apparently, from NHL clubs as a potential assistant. Would that be a fit in Calgary?
Yeah, I think it would. Remember, longtime coach, all kinds of experience, and you know, spent a lot of years over in Austria. At one point, you know, was the coach of their national team. He was the coach of their national team at the Olympics in 2014. He's done a masterful job, not only coaching but building. And for those who remember way back in the day, Emmanuel Viveros, not necessarily in the NHL, but was a marvelous Western Hockey League defenseman and had a great career playing-wise over in Europe. So I could see him definitely being a fit for the coaching staff. There was no doubt in my mind, and there still is not a doubt in my mind, that just how things went in Swift Current and the way the Broncos have gone about their business, I've always kind of wondered and thought out loud that this is probably it for Emmanuel Viveros in Swift Current. Terrific guy, great personality. Like I said, I like his experience, and I like his experience, the fact that, you know, there's a huge European component to it in terms of where he's been and has coached at a lot of different places. So, yeah, that wouldn't surprise me in the least.
Anything else roster-wise? I just have a funny feeling that the Flames are going to find a way to get into one of the top two or three rounds by the time we get to the end of June. I don't know how that happens or what it looks like, but I think Treliving will find a way to do that. I mean, outside of that, not much has changed since even the last time we talked to you about it. But what?
No.
Now is some time to kind of reflect and time in your hands. You sit back and think about this roster. I guess any thoughts as we move closer to another offseason?
Yeah, the only thing I would say, Boom, and I may have said it to you guys last time I came on, I still think the Flames are going to make a bit of a splash before the draft. I really do. I think they'd love to rectify picking where they are, which isn't until round number four. I think they have some, you know, potential players that they can move. And I really wonder, when they sit down and assess it, after how they've gone about their business, the one area where they didn't necessarily make anybody accountable for what happened was with the player group. And I've had a sense that that's going to occur.
Yeah.
Because there's just no way in their evaluation of why things didn't pan out. And I think you have to be careful with that too. Because as we have seen this year in the National Hockey League, some pretty interesting things can happen, can it, fellas, in one year?
Mm-hmm.
Which, again, may not repeat itself next year. Every year is unto itself. Winnipeg Jets, the Las Vegas Golden Knights. So that's what makes those situations so tough. You have to evaluate. Everything in my gut says the Flames are going to do something significant before the draft, whether it's to shake up the core of their group a little bit, add a piece up front, and to reclaim and move themselves up in the draft. I do. I really feel pretty strongly about the potential of that happening.
Do you think that has to be a D-man, Lou? Because I do think when you look up front, I would be very, very hesitant to move either Monahan or Gaudreau if I was a general manager, given the term, the contracts, what they've done in their short tenure in the league. And they do seem to be at an area of strength on the blue line. Is that the fit, or could it be something bigger than that?
Well, I think that's where it has to come from. I mean, that's exactly what you said, Rye. That's your area of strength and maybe where you have the opportunity, you know, to make a move. So I would expect a defenseman to potentially be involved in anything they do. You know, you look down the roster forward-wise, I don't think anybody touches, you know, the two names that you talked about. Is there an opportunity, though, going down the roster a little bit in the forward alignment to potentially take a swing and even maybe add someone if at the end of the day you're looking for a top six forward and there's an opportunity to make a deal that maybe involves, you know, more than one player, which isn't out of the realm either. So we'll see how it goes. I would think defense would be where it would start.
You know, did you have more on this? Because I'm going to just shift a little bit.
Yeah.
Whether it's after a game when we're driving home from the rink after a Flame game, or if we're listening to you at noon, or you come on this show, there's a lot of things that we talk about. We talk about culture, we talk about chemistry, we talk about buy-in and all of that. And it's got to be sickening to hear. It's like, well, what does that even mean? Is there such a thing? Can you think of a more prime example than what Vegas has done?
No.
It's all of it. And I don't know how they've done it, but in 1 year, the culture, the work ethic, and the buy-in more than anything else, whatever Gerard Gallant sold, they bought as a group, and they have just carried out to the letter.
You know what I love about it? In a day and age where I think so many things have become more individualistic, a focus on the stars. And that's, you know, it's what we talk about all the time. This is a team, and they play like a team, and they play like they all care about one another, and they're on the same page, and they were constructed in a marvelous way. I remember Doug Armstrong sitting in the hot stove lounge, and we asked him about midway through the year, his take. And it's one thing that, you know, if people haven't heard me talk about that he threw out. The other thing that's important is, yeah, to a sense, some people might think this is a bit of a ragtag bunch. But you know what they don't have on this team either, guys? They don't have raw rookies. They have a whole roster of professional experience. I think that's made a difference. I think in Marc-Andre Fleury, they couldn't have found the better guy who's been so well known as being an incredible person and a great teammate. But there's also some incredible magic involved, and it's a team. And I don't think they're, you know, there's nobody's making a trillion and somebody's making 950. They ended up with guys who can all skate, think the game. But there's magic. Let's not kid anybody. There's magic there, too. And Gerard Gallant has done a wonderful job. And in sports, I guess that's what makes it beautiful. I mean, did anybody, and I know, you know, for some it's a pretty touchy subject, I didn't think there was a hockey team in the world capable of beating the Winnipeg Jets four times in a row. They did it.
Yeah.
Five games, Lou.
Five.
It's the whole thing. The sweep in round one.
How?
To beat the Jets in five. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not like they're doing this, you know, three times in seven games.
Yeah, I just watching that team. As it went along, and I realized that the Jets weren't going to be able to do this. It's like we talk about this all the time, and it's not look at us. We've been telling you. You hear it across all media. Culture and buy-in, like, what does it look like? Oh, those are fancy words. Oh, okay, whatever. Man, there it is. And I don't know how you describe it or recreate it or what you do, but that's what it looks like, and it's fun to watch.
It is, and you know what the other thing is, guys, about it? Don't expect it to be the same next year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does seem to be fickle, doesn't it?
It is, and if I've learned anything over the years, it's that 1 year is not unto itself. It just isn't. Even when you have the majority and nearly the exactly same characters, mm-hmm. it changes. Things happen. You get good breaks. You know, you feel good about yourself. Guys, next year, and again, for me, probably the word of this season, and it stays the same, is expectation.
Mm-hmm.
Now what? Now they go from a whole year of, let's be honest, you know what's really helped them all year? No matter what they've done, no matter, you know, the record, the division, the playoff success, as much as other teams keep wanting to do this, I'm not sure they've bought in properly. And I think that's helped them. No one will ever convince me that that's not the case. But no matter how this Stanley Cup final goes, it's all changing. The expectation, you know, all these guys having marvelous career-type years, where they're going to finish. They've played a whole year, and sorry about the pun, but it fits. Don't tell me the whole year hasn't been about house money.
Yeah,
well,
it has
next
been.
Year,
yeah.
It all changes. It all changes, and it'll make a difference. Trust me.
You surprised to see Lou Lamoriello pop up in the island?
Not completely, no. No, because for that organization that's still trying to find its way, 3 years ago looked like they were on the verge, and then you take a bit of a step back and you have, you know, relatively new ownership group. No, and I think if anything, you talked about culture boom. If anything, when you take a look at, you know, Lou's time in Toronto, and I think in Toronto, he delivered exactly what they were hoping. They were looking, you know, for somebody to provide structure and culture and a way to do it. And my guess is that's exactly what the Islanders are looking for there.
Last one for you from me, Lou. Just a thought on the World Championships. How much were you paying attention? Any Flames storylines that jump out at you in particular?
Well, I watched a lot of it. In terms of the Flames, I'm always fascinated by this tournament to see, you know, who out there not in the NHL might some NHL teams take a flyer on. You know, to me, would there be a couple of guys in that event that you'd maybe take a flyer on? Yeah, potentially. Not anybody necessarily this year that completely knocked my socks off. And the other story for me is when you've gotten to know Michael Backlund the way I have over the years and how highly you think of him and how much I respect him, I think it's awesome. You know, for him in particular, needless to say, I only cheer for one country at every World Championship, and it's not them. But I'm really, really happy for Michael. I thought the Swedes were clearly the best team, and it was not at all easy for them. But I was really happy for Michael to see him win the World Championship.
Thank you, my man. So we wrap up Memorial Cup, and then what's happening with you?
I will head back east, and then I will start thinking even more than I already have about the upcoming NHL draft and see if I can go head-to-head again with my good friend Mr. Cosentino.
That's right, yeah.
See if we can whip up a little show.
We're laying the groundwork for another mock draft. That'll be aired 96 times in advance of the actual NHL.
It's a lot, yeah.
Yeah, well. You want to get your money's worth.
We've got a hit record, so you play the hits. Yeah. Have some fun tonight, Lou, all right?
Okay, guys. Thanks so much for checking in.
Hey, man. Thanks.
Our pleasure.
There he is. Peter Labardius.